Welcome back to the Locky Lock Sports Betting Podcast. You already know who it is. It's your boy. Today's podcast is for Saturday, November 2nd, 2019. Recorded mostly on Friday. I welcome back for the second straight week and the third time my one and only guest, Matt at Jersey Betting on Twitter. He does a great job once again. So unfortunately, as you'll learn early on in the next segment, I'm going to do a quick intro here, by the way. So we recorded the original next segment. It was about 26 minutes long. And fucking we recorded it using the Skype app, which is what we found to be the best way to do it so far. And due to a couple different reasons and excuses that I'll use and stick to, I forgot to hit the record button. So we did the whole fucking thing. Did a good job, and not one word was recorded, but that's cool. We were able to make some time later on in the day to go ahead and do it over again. We added about 10 minutes of extra content that we didn't do in the beginning, as well as being two fucking idiots. We broke down most of the Friday NBA slate, which I had already done on Friday's podcast. I listened to that one earlier. So I don't know why I didn't do the NBA picks for Saturday. Like what the hell's wrong with us? Neither one of us caught that. Anyway, luckily I figured that out before we started recording again, and we did break down some of Saturday's NBA slate. Friday's NBA slate was admittedly one of the hardest since the season started. Vegas / the books hung some really tough lines, really some tough matchups today, for sure. I went ahead and decided last minute to go ahead and play small bets on every game. And somehow, some way, I nailed every single one so far. If you check my Twitter feed, you'll see those results and the amounts there that I've risked. The biggest bet that I'm most sure of is the Spurs -6.5. We'll see what happens there. I don't even want to check the score right now. I know the Spurs were up 1 after being down like 8 early after the first quarter. So hopefully they cover that. I think they should. But anyway, one small negative thing, I just listened to about the first 5 minutes of the segment me and Matt did together, and I'm not happy with the audio quality. So there's a lot of kind of like background fuzz noise, background, like, I don't know what you want to call it, like static. And the audio quality is not great. I'm not happy with it, but that's fine. The reason for that is, and of course, I find the quietest spot in the fucking city to fucking do this intro, and a fucking loud garbage truck has to pass by me. I'm on a fucking empty street in the middle of Manhattan, and this fucking thing stops at a red light right in front of me. I fucking hate this place. I hate this fucking city. I gotta get the fuck out of here. It's driving me crazy, you guys. Anyway, with that being said, I do know the culprit of the poor audio quality in the next segment. Fucking Matt was in a car, first of all. That already is gonna go ahead and add some background noise. I did not hear when we were recording. I did hear, but I didn't think it was a big deal. After I listened back to the first 5 minutes or so, it's not great. He decided he was going to use... He was in the car with two other people, so I understand why he did it. He decided to use some headphones, and I think that, coupled with the car, wasn't great. So I apologize for any audio issues that may arise during your listening of this segment. If anything wasn't clear, you're not clear on it due to audio quality... just hit me up on Twitter and DM me, and I'll let you know whatever you don't understand, and that's fine. I do sincerely apologize for that, and I'll go ahead and apologize for Matt for that. Matt, when you listen to this, don't ever use those fucking headphones or be in a car ever again. Be in your fucking dorm room, wherever the fuck you go, and just sit there. God damn it, dude. It's all good, baby. It's all good. So basically what we decided to do today was, of course, go ahead and go through... 5 or 6 of Matt's strongest college football plays for Saturday. He also released a Friday pick as a bonus at the end, which he decided to go ahead and offer as a free paid package play. We released it out on Twitter. I think about 11 or 12 of you guys DM'd me, and I sent that out to you. That pick, since it's over now, was the Navy team total over 40.5. As you'll hear in the podcast, hopefully, if the fucking audio is good enough, God damn it, Matt, if the audio is good enough, you will hear that Matt actually predicts. By the way, our segment was originally recorded between like 1:30 and 2 o'clock Friday afternoon. That one wasn't recorded because I didn't hit the button. Pretty much every podcast I've ever listened to has had that issue at least once. So yeah, that won't happen again, I'm sure. Fucking stupid mistake. It's all good though. You'll hear that he actually predicts that that team total 40.5 will go over before the end of the third quarter, and it actually went over with like 6 minutes remaining in the third. So that was a fucking strong ass play. I hope you guys who I sent that out to asked for it. Hope you guys did actually bet that. I know at least two of you did. You guys promised me tips tomorrow or soon, so that's cool. You don't have to tip, but it is always very much appreciated, and it does help the podcast, the cost of the podcast. And half of those tips, whatever the amount is going to go straight to Matt. And if you're interested in buying his weekend packages, I'll just go ahead. I run a little short two-minute ad at the end of this podcast and the past couple podcasts. Essentially, the price is $150 for the weekend picks. He'll go ahead and basically, if you sign up through this podcast and use Locky Lock, the Locky Lock code, which is Locky Lock, or just fucking say you heard on the Locky Lock, but whatever the fuck, just tell him you know me, whatever. He'll drop that down to 100, at least for the first week anyway. I'm just going to go ahead and say the first 2 weeks for him. If he has a problem with that, I'll fucking take care of the other 50. I don't think he will, though. Basically, they're guaranteed half money back and a week for free. He's hit the past 5 or 6 weeks in a row. I believe the worst week he had was 6-5. That was 1 week. I believe after that, the worst week was 7-4. And then the other ones were like 8-3, 9-2, 8-3, and like fucking, I don't know, about that area. So it's been good. It's been successful so far in the past 2 or 3 months that he's been doing it. I trust this dude's picks. I wouldn't run into, you guys know I'm going to say this real quick because I meant to say it in the beginning of our segment, but I just want you guys to know, I've said this before, but if you're a new listener, why do people fucking have to be on top of me, man? Fuck. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. I'm on a fucking empty street. There's two fucking people standing 2 feet behind me. Like, get the fuck away from me, man. Jesus Christ. Fucking hate this city. Fucking old-ass, stupid-ass, middle-of-the-country fucking middle-aged fucking white people. Oh, and this is why I used to work in that building, man. Get the fuck out of here, you loser. Fucking loser. Get the fuck away. Oh my god, you guys. I'm talking mad loud. They definitely hear me. Like, wouldn't you fucking just walk away at least? Fucking being mad obvious. Anyway, I hate fucking people. I hate people. I hate this city. Anyway, with that being said, the long way of saying this, I wouldn't run any ads on this podcast. I didn't believe in fully. I've said this before. I really care about this podcast and the quality of the product that I release and the quality of each and every episode that I release, as well as the picks and all the content that I release. As stupid as it sounds, coming from a fucking host of a small-time fucking sports betting niche podcast, it's actually, I wouldn't even call it small-time anymore. It's grown to a pretty good little following, and I appreciate that. I do got to be more active in promoting and marketing, though, because since I stopped doing that on forums and things like that and just concentrated totally on Twitter, it's kind of been a slow, very slow growth over the last month or so. And I remember the last time that I blasted it out on a few different forums, not only did I get kicked out of almost every forum for advertising, but I did gain, I mean, like fucking 200% of the listens and downloads, and like fucking another 120 out of like 400 total followers on Twitter. So I gotta get back to doing that. I'm willing to pay somebody to do that for me. If you're interested, let me know. DM me on Twitter. I'll let you know what the deal is with that. I don't want to do it. It's a pain in the fucking ass to, you know, join a new forum, to set up a new account, fucking click the email, fucking set up a new password, get an email, click that link, fucking get approved by the fucking moderators, whatever. It's a long, annoying process for each and every forum. And there's a bunch of them related to sports betting. I don't want to fucking do it, but it's worth doing it. So if I have to do it myself, I will. I'll dedicate like a whole fucking day to it or something. I'll figure it out. What I'm trying to say is I care about this podcast. I care about you guys who listen, especially the loyal listeners and especially the financial supporters of the podcast. All the tips are greatly appreciated. They've been coming in pretty pretty regularly now on a daily basis. I appreciate that, and it helps. Doing a daily podcast, doing any podcast is fucking expensive, but doing a daily podcast with the amount of audio files and data amount and all that stuff is fucking expensive. Yeah, Anchor's free, but I still have to pay another site and company to fucking store all the files so I don't lose them in case Anchor decides to just go under one day and just I don't want to lose all the files. You know, I own the copyright, I own the fucking, the rights to this, to the podcast and all the audio files, but I have to be responsible for those files. So long story short, what I'm trying to say is this shit costs a lot of money. I appreciate you guys, and I care about the show and you guys, and everything I release publicly and everything I say is pretty much crafted pretty carefully. And if I say anything I don't like or aren't happy with, I just fucking edit it out. I've become pretty proficient at audio editing, learning on my own with very little to no experience with that. Anyway, what I'm trying to say is I love you guys and I appreciate you guys. And I love doing this show, and I'll do it forever as long as I have at least one listener. So yeah, with that being said, I'm happy with the growth at this point. I'm happy with where we're at. I'm happy I chose Matt to come on the podcast regularly. I literally asked one other guy to come on once. We made it about a minute and a half through recording with him. And I hung up on him and texted him and said, "This ain't gonna work, brother." So I let it go to about 4 minutes and cut him off at about 4 minutes. But 1 minute, 1.5 minutes in, I knew it wasn't gonna work. Me and Matt vibe well together. I think the age difference of 15 years gives us a good little different perspective on things. The fact that he plays collegiate football on a pretty high level adds to the fact that he has major knowledge of that sport intimately. And then with my experience of 20 plus years of betting seriously, at least fucking 15 plus years of betting seriously, 20 years of betting, sports betting experience, those two things match up well. And yeah, I go over his picks before. I don't let him release any picks without me going over them first. So I don't want you to think that I just let somebody come on and just fucking release picks willy-nilly, because I don't. Yeah, killing the NBA still. It's fucking pretty great. The lines are getting tougher. I think the Kings get their first win today and their first cover today. That's one of my strongest picks. My strongest play, though, today is the Spurs. I got to check the score. It's like 11:30-ish right now, I think. 11:27 now. I took Dallas last minute. They're up 9 on the Lakers at a pick'em. I love that pick. Dallas at home. Lakers are sucky. Sacramento now, plus 4.5 dogs. They're up by 1. 11 minutes left in the third. And the Spurs are up 3 with 3 minutes left in the second. So still a ton of time left. LaMarcus Aldridge just missed a 3-pointer. If he hits that, they go up 6. And a half a point away from covering the 6.5. So I think the Spurs win by at least 15 and 20 here. We'll see. It's pretty surprisingly close. And the scoring is pretty much on par with the total. I'm gonna do definitely at least one or two betting advice episodes this week. I know you guys are clamoring for one of those coming, so they are coming. The Knicks were a great pick tonight. Chicago was a great pick tonight. Brooklyn was a great pick tonight at home versus Houston. Fuck Houston, they're overrated. Milwaukee just literally blew out, wire to wire, they blew out Orlando. I liked the Bucks a lot here tonight. They were my second biggest bet, and yeah, they won wire to wire. They won the first quarter by 4. They won the second quarter by 17. So going into that, they're up 21. Going into the fourth, they were up 17. And they won the fourth by 5. So in 123 to 91 by 22 points, right? 19. Oh, more than that. 9. What is that? 32 points? Jesus Christmas, Bucks. Relax. It's just Orlando. How did the Greek Freak do? 30 minutes, 29 points. 10 for 16. 14 rebounds, 6 assists. Wow. The only negative I can say about that is 7 turnovers, only 2 steals. And he's fucking been getting in foul trouble. He's already fouled out of at least 2 games. He's gotten to 5 fouls at least once. And in 30 minutes, he had 4 fouls. That could be a problem come playoff time. He's got to watch that. Dante DiVincenzo finally got some burn in a blowout victory. 17 minutes for him. 14 points, 5 for 11 from the floor, 4 for 7 from deep. I love DiVincenzo in Villanova. I thought he'd be a better, more active NBA player than he is due to his size. He's 6'5", due to his weight and strength and relative to his speed and athleticism. So I thought he'd get more burn than he's getting as he is on the Bucks. So hopefully he does get more burn. I think he's a solid player. At this rate, he's going to wind up in the fucking D-League or overseas eventually. So hopefully he gets at least up to 6 man on a squad. I don't think he fits well in this Bucks squad. But apparently the Bucks teammates like him, so I don't know. He seems like a cool dude. I like him. That's all I'm saying. With all that being said, that's the long version of getting to. Please welcome my guest once again, Matt at Jersey Betting. Follow this man on Twitter at JerzyWayBetting at Jersey Betting. Of course, follow me on Twitter at JaduLanieJD Sports Picks. Email me, JD.pro11@gmail.com. And please send in a goddamn motherfucking voice message to the podcast. I'll play it on the podcast and address it and answer any questions that are posed in that voice message. I've literally gotten one in fucking 4 months of doing the podcast daily. Seriously. So fucking send in a fucking voice message. Become part of the show. Tips are appreciated. Send those in, please. This podcast is fully self-supporting at this point. I've got one tiny little fucking very low-paying ad that I'm running. And I'm running the pick service, the pick package selling service ad for free for my boy Matt here. When I had two or three advertisers, it was fine. You know, making a few bucks per episode is fine by me. Why would you be riding a bike with a fucking speaker blasting corny ass music? With only this one advertiser, and that being Anchor, which is the fucking service I use, they pay very low. It's literally like 0.8 cents, or it might be a full cent per listen. So I'm literally making fucking maximum like $2 per episode. So that's not good. When I had three sponsors, I was making almost 10 to 15 bucks per episode. Some of the higher listen episodes, I was getting almost 20, 25 bucks per episode. So if you add that up to, 30, 35, 40 podcasts a month, that's a decent little chunk of change at the end of the month. But with it only being one right now, I'm trying to get two more. I'm trying to at least get one more. Definitely trying to get two more on my own or through Anchor, one way or the other. I'll get it done eventually. I definitely need those two more sponsors, though. If anybody knows anything about that, let me know, please. I'm thinking about setting up a Patreon page, but essentially it's kind of the same thing as the listener support button. However, they take pretty much the same percentage, but you can donate as much as you like, as opposed to being restricted to $9.99 per month, or 99 cents, or $4.99. Those three payments is all you can do through the listener support button. I don't like that very much. I do appreciate any supporters. I've got five guys who have sent in $100 as listener support. I appreciate that. I've got a few guys who have sent in multiple from $10 to $25 tips, / donations, / supports, whatever you want to call them. And I've got a couple of guys who are fucking freeloaders who fucking ask for my best picks every single day. I give them to them every single day and they never fucking pay a dime. But that's cool too. That's to be expected and I honestly don't mind it. As long as at least 25% of the podcast pays for itself, I'm pretty much cool with that. I'd like it eventually to go to 100% though. Anyway, enjoy the episode, guys. I'm not going to do an outro because I already talked too long in this intro. We went a little bit long on the segment with Matt. Went about 36 minutes, 38 minutes. But we do cover about 8 or 9 college football bets for Saturday. They're all pretty fucking strong. I'd tell them if I was you. If you want to pick your fucking 3 or 4 favorites, go for that. If you want to put smaller bets on all of them, go for that. I have a fucking very strong feeling we'll come out on the positive end on the profit scale after Saturday's college football games. See, the fucking first recording, just real quick, the first recording that I never recorded, like, it just flowed organically, like, with very little preparation. Like, you know, I usually send Matt a little outline of what I want to accomplish and what topics I want to hit. And we just kind of fucking, the last two episodes, we kind of just fucking, you know, wing it. You know, I give him a couple thoughts. He sends me his picks. And then we just wing it. I don't tell him anything before the show. And somehow, some way, we were able to hit every single thing I want to hit in like the perfect amount of time every single time. And it turns out to be really good every single time. But it was cool the way the first one recorded. It still works fine on the second recording, except the goddamn audio issues. Fuck. That will be fixed next time for sure. Last time I had him on, it was fine. I have a feeling it was the car coupled with those fucking headphones. Because every time I use headphones, besides one pair that was super expensive, the audio quality suffers. So I have a feeling it was partly that. It was probably like 75% the headphones and like 25% background noise of a car running in the background the whole time. So that's cool. I hope you get through it. I hope you enjoy it. So yeah, just real quick, we did about three little parts, essentially. We did the college football picks and thoughts on those. He gives, I think, 6 or 7 picks. I give 2. Admittedly, I don't know really anything about college football. College football by far is my worst betting sport, and I still profit long term on it. It's fucking crazy. I'm so good at betting. I'm just kidding. I'm humble, you guys, but I'm fucking nice with this shit. But you know, since I've been having him on and listening to him and taking his angles into account while also mixing in my thoughts, and stats and data and all that good stuff. I'm a numbers guy. He's a football guy, so that mixes well. So, yeah, my two picks I put out there, and I like his reaction to those. And what I was trying to say is, after the first in the first recording, the way that we flowed in from, like, basically, he brought up the McCaffrey family. We talked about that, and I forget what exactly sparked it, but the way it just flowed perfectly into the second part of the show, which is the NFL game that I wanted to break down early, which is the biggest game of the season so far, in my opinion. Most important game for the Patriots. Patriots at Baltimore. You'll hear how fucking... So, earlier on the day, I was pretty heavily leaning towards the Pats. But to be safe, I at that point, the money line was minus 152-ish, and that was the lowest it was. I said on the first recording, that's going to stay there, and it's only going to get higher. It's not going lower, and that's exactly what happened. By the time 3 hours or 4 hours later when we recorded the second one, it was already up to minus 165. And my thoughts over those few hours after doing some more in-depth research and looking into this season, I'm fucking pretty confident the Pats are going to win and cover this by a lot. By a lot. For a ton of reasons. You'll hear why. But basically, you know, my favorite, one of my favorite strategies to use and implement into my system is betting percentage public-wise versus line movement. And this plays perfectly into it. 99% of the public were was on the Pats minus 6.5. From minus 5.5 to minus 6.5, 99% of the money was on the Pats. It goes all the way down to minus 3. Minus 110. I was thinking about buying it. I'm definitely going to buy it to minus 2.5, minus 120. It's worth it for 10 bucks to protect against that very unlikely 3-point Patriots win. I fucking hate pushes worse than losses sometimes, I swear. But anyway, see, I'm really, really heavily, I'm confident in this Pats game. What was worrying me, as you'll hear on the episode, just to briefly outline it real quick, the Pats defense, I don't know if it's legit yet. And I watched about an hour and 15 minute breakdown of like 50 to 60 slow motion plays. And this dude, I'm going to shout him out in the outro, I think. He's on YouTube. He does these breakdowns that are fucking fantastic. And I was worried about the Pats defense against the running game and against running quarterbacks, because they do show some serious holes when they played against teams like that. However, you give Bill Belichick a week to prepare for a team in this big of a game on a standalone, big time, prime time stage, Sunday night alone, only game playing at 8:20 Sunday night. Belichick's not going to come out and fuck around. He's going to, what he does in the past, he shuts down a team's best offensive weapon with his defense and basically dares you and challenges you to beat him with your other weapons. Now, my argument is Baltimore does not have enough offensive weapons to beat the Patriots, rest of the defense, once they shut down this Ravens rushing attack and the quarterback. I'm just going to call him the quarterback for the Ravens. Fuck this guy. I think he's overrated. You all know who I'm talking about. So I think they'll shut him down and they won't be able to produce enough points or have enough possessions or time of possession. At the end of the day, I think that the Patriots will have more possessions, more time, and essentially more scores. It's a pretty easy bet, in my opinion, once I broke it down. The other worry I had was Patriots have played nobody this year. Literally nobody, right? They're 8-0. They covered they're 7-1 against the spread full game. They're 8-0 against the first half spread. The only game they lost against the spread was the Bills. I was worried about that. That was the best team, maybe the best team that they played, and they fucking suck. They only won 16-10. However, after rethinking it and considering the weather for that game, as well as thinking, you know, I say it on the podcast, in a 17-week, 16-game NFL season, right, you're going to have one or two games, no matter how good or elite your team is, you're going to have one, two, or three, or even four games where you don't play your best and you have to, like, really grind it out and show some heart and show some grit and fucking show some balls, basically. And I think that's what they did in the Bills game. They played Miami, who's arguably the worst team ever. Definitely the worst team this year. They might not win a game this year. They played the Jets twice, the Giants, and the Redskins. So it's like, okay, you're 8-0, but really, have you won a game? Like, you know what I'm saying? I was worried about that. However, after looking at the common opponents, the two common opponents they both played, And then looking at arguably Baltimore's most impressive win this year, Seattle. When I looked at the game breakdown, I really, really broke it down in detail. They shouldn't have won that game, and they got fucking super lucky winning that game. Seattle should have won that game big time. So I say that because Baltimore had a lucky pick six, 65-yard, or whatever. I believe Seattle was in the red zone, and Russell Wilson throws a fucking pick six, a long-ass pick six. So that's a defensive score right there that they really didn't deserve. They got a fumble recovery for a touchdown. That's two defensive scores. And their only offensive touchdown against Seattle was on a fucking 4th-and-2 with like 11 minutes to go in the third quarter. A, that's a bad play call. So that shows their coaching is poor. The Belichick is a way better coaching. And New England has a way better coaching staff than Baltimore, for sure. And that's a poor play call. And they got lucky with an 8-yard rushing touchdown on 4th-and-2. That should have been a turnover on downs. And Seattle's ball with no points on the board. So instead they got 7, 2 defensive touchdowns. That's 21 points right there. And they scored 30 total, 3 field goals. So that win is not impressive to me at all. They should have lost that game. And then their 2 losses, Kansas City by 5, and fucking Cleveland. They lost by 15 to Cleveland. They let Cleveland with Baker Mayfield and this very underachieving receiving core of Odell Beckham Jr. that they don't know how to use properly. Baker Mayfield, a fucking terrible quarterback in my opinion. He'll be out of the league in 2 or 3 years in my opinion. And they fucking lost to that team by 15, 40-25. Terrible. The Patriots played them as well. They beat them by like, I don't know. I forget what they beat them by, like 17 or something. I don't remember exactly, but they beat them pretty big. Pretty convincingly. Maybe 14, I can't remember, but they covered. And they beat them convincingly. They lost to the Baltimore lost to Kansas City by 5. I mean, listen, if you're not going to win that game, the 5 wins really don't mean anything. Besides the Seattle win, they played nobody. Just like New England, they played nobody. They played Miami. I think they played the Jets. I'm not going to go over the whole thing again. I do it in the segment. So with that, all that being said, I've got fucking like 100 more reasons why I think the Pats will win by at least 17. At least 17. I really believe that. They're 100% going to cover the minus 2.5 that I'm going to buy it to. It's minus 3 still right now. Friday night, almost midnight. It's still minus 3. Minus 110. Take that shit, guys. Take it now for as much as you can afford. Just fucking trust me. If I'm wrong, I'm going to stop betting for a month. And I'll still do the podcast, but I'm going to stop betting for a month. Because if I'm wrong on this, I'm going to be very wrong. Like, I'm putting everything on the Pats. Everything. I'm putting my reputation. I'm putting a ton of fucking money on them. And, yeah, I'm putting my fucking money where my mouth is and my reputation on the line here with the Pats pick. I've been betting long enough to know to not bet against this core of Brady, Belichick. When they have an elite defense, the offense will figure a way to get it done, get enough done to win by at least 3. At least 3. If you're worried about them winning by 3, take the fucking money line. Pay another fucking... it's like $35 now. If you're going to buy it to minus 2.5, it'll be minus 120. It's minus 165. It's another $45 to protect against a 1 or 2 point win. Go ahead and do it if you want. Like me and Matt say in the last episode, I believe, the fucking price doesn't matter if you win. Fucking pay it if you want. They're going to win though. I don't care if the Pats go into halftime down 17 to 24 points. They're going to make adjustments in the second half. They're going to fucking kill them in the second half, you guys. Come on. And then the third segment, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to go on that long-ass tangent. I'm going to shut up after this. And then the last bit is we break down the NBA. I'm just going to shut up now. Enjoy. Enjoy the rest of the show. I love you guys. Thanks for listening. Hit me up on Twitter. Get at me. And I guess I'll put a little detail in the episode description and say skip to minute 30 if you just want to get right to the picks. If you don't want to hear me fucking blab on and on and on and on and on. But I really do think that New England breakdown is important for you guys to hear more than once. Because it's big time. This is a big time pick. I haven't been this confident in a pick in a long time. I think the last time I was this confident was last NCAA tournament time. Or it wasn't even in the tournament. It was like late in the season. I forget who Marquette was playing. But Marquette was playing a team they fucking just overmatched so much. And they were only like minus 2 fucking favorites at home. I bought that shit down to minus 1.5 and took the money line as well. They wound up winning by like 34 points. So I haven't been this confident in a long time. Take the Pats, guys. Trust me. Trust me. If it was minus 6.5, I'd still be saying take the Pats with the points. Lay the points. Lay 6.5. This spread, I fully believe wholeheartedly. And, you know, Matt brings up a point in the segment. He says, you know, Baltimore's getting some sharp money in Vegas on them. Good for the fucking sharps, man. The sharps fucking barely hit 56%. They're happy with 56%. They're happy with 53.5% over a fucking year. Fuck the sharps, man. All being a sharp means in Vegas is you bet big money daily or very often. That's all that fucking means. And all it means is, I mean, literally, guys, if you're betting $10,000 to $100,000 plus, you know, on one game, on one team, you've got to fucking literally win like a couple more bets over the course of a year to profit over $100,000. You know what I'm starting to say? To be a sharp, all you got to do is be rich and be willing to fucking bet that money. And if you're rich, if you're worth fucking, you know, $60 million, who gives a, what's $500,000 a year? Who gives a fuck? It's nothing. It's like 50 bucks to us. You know what I'm trying to say? What I'm trying to say is, don't fucking listen to sharps. Don't listen to experts. Listen to, like, professional bettors that you trust. But what you want to do, which I'm going to add into one of a betting advice podcast, is don't just listen to their picks. Take into account their picks. If they don't give you reasoning behind their pick, like I'm doing right now, don't even fucking consider it. If they give you good reasoning that makes you think, consider it. What I like to do, and I'm going to go into more detail on this. I'll be quick, last 3 or 4 minutes. What I'm going to do is do a long, detailed podcast about this stuff. But what I like to do, I like to think of it as on a scale of 100. I've said this before, but in more detail, I'll do it now in 2 or 3 minutes. And then I'm going to break it down big time over like the course of like an hour and a half soon. What I like to do, I like to break my picks down into like 100 points, right? I would say maybe 65 to 70. 55 to 70 of those points is usually my thinking and my reasoning and my data and my systems. The other fucking 45 to what, or the other 30, whatever, the other 45 to 30 part of that 100, maybe 10 to 15, 20 max will be other people's that I trust. And even if I don't trust them, if they make good points and they make me think, I'll consider it and put that in part of my pick and my decision. But only like maybe essentially 10 to 20% weight I put on those. And then, you know, other stuff that I'll take into account. Just, you know, other things that I'll break into more detail. I don't want to go into too much detail right now. I'm going to break it down for you guys nice eventually. I love you guys. Thanks for listening. I went way too long on this intro. It's going to be like a hour and 15 minute, hour and 20 minute podcast. But it's all good, baby. It's my show. I do what the fuck I want. Have a great day, guys. Enjoy the games on Saturday. I'll be back early Sunday. Have a great day, guys. Let's go. Let's eat together. All right, guys, we're back. And in case you don't follow one of us on Twitter, I got up with Matt here at Jersey Way Betting for the third time. Technically the fourth time because we recorded, dare I say, another fire episode once again. Perfect time. We hit everything we wanted to hit, 26 minutes and 3 seconds. And if you don't follow me on Twitter, just missed one of our tweets on Twitter, one of my angry upset tweets. I forgot to hit the record button. I'm fucking angry. Anyway, what's up, Matt? Good to have you back once again.
What's up? Happy to be back. I know we recorded earlier, but shit got all messed up, so we got to do this now. I'm in a car right now, traveling to a football game, so.
It's all good, brother. Fucking take two, I guess. It's my fault, take but two. in my defense, when I just so the audience knows real quick, I hit the Skype app. I had to update the app, so that's fine. It takes like usually 3 minutes. It took like 7 minutes for some reason. Then I finally downloaded and installed the app, and I tried to log in, and my account's locked for some reason, so I had to go to a website. And then, I didn't tell you this part, I had a fucking, you know those capture things where it's like a picture and it's like 9 squares?
Yeah.
And it's like fucking, pick each square with a traffic light in it. I guess I fucking hit one
you
that had like,
it up.
Oh my God, like 3 times, sure. But I'm an idiot. Long story short, we were kind of strapped for time, and I never hit the record button. But it's all good because us being two half morons, we talked about tonight's NBA games and it's Friday and this is Saturday's episode, so that's good. Yeah, also, the other benefit, I think it's more benefits than worse because I was able to do more research on his picks as well as I'm definitely 100% on this NFL game. I can't wait to talk about that with you once again.
Oh, yeah.
For sure. I 100% know what's happening. And I'll tell
let's
you
let's go,
why.
Pats.
Absolutely. Well, when we get to that, we'll get there. First, let's start off. We're going to start off with college football, of course. Matt's specialty, according to him. No, it is probably his best, and he's definitely better than me at it. So I defer to him on college football. So he's got like 5 or 6 picks to go through. I got a couple. I'll give you my thoughts on that. We'll hit one NFL game. I think you guys know which game that'll be. And then hopefully we'll hit a couple Saturday NBA games. I just wanted to say we did go over Friday night's NBA games. And I have to say, even though this is released tomorrow, Saturday, tonight, Friday's NBA slate is by far, in my opinion, the hardest slate of games to predict and bet on since the season started. By far, it's impossible. So with that being said, let's just start right up in the picks, man. Give me your fucking first pick.
Let's get after it. So before I start, I just want to let you know I got a little bit of everything today. We got some overs, unders, spreads. I'd like to switch it up with you guys. So I'm going to start off with TCU, their team total over 28. The reason I like this pick a lot is because they have the 38th ranked offense in the country. They average over 430 yards a game. And in their last 7 games, they've scored over 28 easily. The only time they didn't score 28 points was versus Iowa State and Kansas State, who have pretty good good defenses. They're playing Oklahoma State this week, who has their 102nd ranked defense. So I think they should score 28 fairly easy in like third quarter, even at halftime maybe. I think this is a really safe play, and I like this maybe over 1 or 2 units.
Yeah, actually, I had an opportunity, like I said, to go into more detail and do a little bit more research on these particular picks. And, you know, I went back over their last 5 or 6 games. And, yeah, they're a high-scoring, high-powered offense. Like you said, Kansas State stopped them, but they still scored 17, which against that defense is pretty impressive. They put up 37 on Texas. That's impressive. I mean, 37 on Texas. So that's good. I like that pick a lot, and it wasn't on my radar at all. So I'm grateful for that pick. I'm probably going to tail that as well. So go ahead, give me your second one.
Yeah, I like that one a lot. Second pick I like is the Charlotte 49ers plus 3 points versus Middle Tennessee. I like this one a lot because they're coming off a crazy win versus North Texas where they scored in the last 20 seconds of the game to go up by 1 after being down the entire game. So they're going to have a lot of momentum after that game. They're 3-1. I mean, they're 3-5 this year, 3-1 at home, and this game is home. So after coming off that hot win, they control their own destiny. They need 3 more wins to get to a bowl game, and their schedule favors them. So I like Charlotte with the points this game.
Yeah, once again, a pick that definitely wouldn't be on my radar. I look back at some of their past games as well, and, you know, most of their common opponents, it looks like Middle Tennessee did better against. So once again, I like this pick. I don't think I'm going to be tailing this one. I got to look into it a little bit more. It's a kind of a low-level game that never would have came across my radar without you. So if you like it, I like it. Give me your third one. I'm going to get into one for you.
Third pick, I like Nebraska minus 3 points. The reason they're playing Purdue this weekend, and I like this one a lot. They're coming off a tough loss versus Indiana where their quarterback went down, but they put the ball in the hands of Christian McCaffrey's little brother, actually, which I wasn't even aware of at first. My friend pointed it out to me. I was like, wow, look at this guy. He's actually tearing it up. And as you guys know, that family is unreal. Like, the McCaffreys can do it all. I think they're gonna absolutely roll Purdue this game. They have I think their record is they're 4-4 right now. So they have 3 or 4 more games? 2 more games? They need to win this game to make a bowl game. They control their own destiny. I expect them to roll Purdue this game.
Yeah, I gotta agree partly with that. The control your own destiny obviously is huge. That means a lot. The one thing that worries me a little bit about Nebraska, this was actually on my radar as a lean. They're 0-5 in their last 5 against the spread and 2-5 in their last 5. Purdue, though, is pretty terrible. They're 2-5 on the year. Their last best win, I guess, is Maryland, and they're terrible. That's a good one. And that brings me to the next game that I want to bring up a little bit, and that's Michigan at Maryland. When I first saw Michigan minus 21.5, like I told you earlier, if I saw this game earlier in the year, when Michigan was seriously struggling, before the last game where they beat up on fucking Notre Dame at home, I definitely would have took Maryland. But Maryland's looked like total shit lately. 21.5 is a lot. And my confusion here is it opened up at minus 16.5 for Michigan. I like that at minus 16.5. I've seen Michigan win it by 17 or more. But minus 21.5, I kind of like Maryland plus 21.5. I'm confused on this one. I'm lost. I don't know anything about the two teams really. You know, Maryland's last win was against Rutgers, and that means really nothing to me at all. They won 48-7, and also Michigan beat them 52-0 as well, just for a reference
point. And I don't know, what are your thoughts on this game?
Especially with this 21.5, I actually don't mind this at all. I live in Maryland, so there's a lot of hype on this Maryland team. They started off the season hot and then started to tail off. But I don't expect Maryland to score a lot of points against this Michigan defense. But if they can keep Michigan off the scoreboard a little bit, I'm sure they'll be able to cover that 21. I did like, at first, I liked Maryland's team total under, but it was just too low for me to lay, so that's why I didn't play it. But if they're able to limit Michigan's offense even a little bit, I think they'll be able to cover the spread.
Gotcha. I'm a Harbaugh hater, to be honest with you. I don't know.
He's not the right fit for Michigan.
He's not. I mean, he's a decent coach, but he's just not right. You're right. He's not a good fit. It's the best way to put it nicely. That game, I don't know. I'm literally just confused. And I got to get into this one. This is my one pick in the college football games that I actually like a lot. And I've been kicking myself since last week for not fading Old Dominion. They're playing FIU in Florida. It opened up at -14.5. 79% of the public is on FIU. It's up to now -17.5. I like FIU to roll by 21 or more here.
Totally agree.
Versus shitty Old Dominion team. I'm taking this for a unit. I gotta do it. I can't see Old Dominion get blown out again and me not have money on it. So
right. Old Dominion has in the top 10 worst offenses in college. They do not score. They do not move the ball. They've actually been a great team to bet the under again, underverse. So, but like they just can't move the ball. They're like they haven't been. They've only been a D1 school for about maybe 3-4 years. They came from FCS and they're just not on par with everyone else. So I totally see why you would say FIU -17. This should be easy.
I agree. I actually watched the game live while on TV last week, and they just couldn't do anything against who they played, Florida Atlantic, I believe, FAU.
Yeah.
I believe. And they lost 41-3. Looked terrible. FIU didn't look great against Middle Tennessee, but I think they're just a way better team, Old Dominion. And admittedly, I don't know much about college football. It's one of my weakest betting sports for sure. However, I know a lot about Old Dominion's basketball program, not football, but all I need to see is these numbers here, and they can't cover a fucking +16.5 spread to save their lives. You're right about the unders. The two overs that in the last five that they go over were very low totals for college, especially 42 and 46. Barely went over the 46. I think it was 48, and the over 42 was like 52 or something like that. So, yeah, go ahead. Jump back into your picks, bro.
All right, real quick, I want to shout out Rick Lovato, Philadelphia Eagles long snapper from Old Dominion. But next pick, we're going to go Bowling Green, team total under 27.5. Bowling Green is simply one of the worst teams, not his offense, his teams in college football this season. They have the 121st ranked offense. They average only about 240 yards a game, which is nothing in college. And they're matched up against Akron this week, who's also a pretty shitty team. But they have the 66th ranked defense, and Bowling Green has yet to score over 20 points on anyone that's a Division I team this year. They scored 63 on Morgan State, which is a low-tier FCS program. So I do not see Bowling Green scoring anywhere near 27.5. Might bump this up to 1.5 to 2. So I think it's a really safe play. Bowling Green under 27.5.
Yeah, this is another one I had the advantage of a couple hours of looking over some of their past games and some of the numbers. And just going by the numbers, I can't help but agree to you. I'm actually telling this play with you. I'm going to put like a half a unit probably on it. If you're going to bump it up, I might even bump it up to a full unit, but I'll make that decision later. And I'll let the audience know for sure.
Yeah, I'll let you guys know too.
Yeah, go for it, man.
Last pick, we're going to go with a money line just to have it all. I like Utah to win straight up at Washington. Utah's 7-1 right now. They still have playoff hopes. I actually thought they were about to make the playoffs preseason because how much hype they had around them. They had a tough loss earlier in the season versus USC. But, like, if they went out, and crazier things have happened, win their conference, you never know what could happen. I like Utah, -170. If you don't want to lay all that juice, the spread's 3, I think, which is not crazy. Maybe buy the 2, whatever. Utah -170. I think they'll win outright at Washington this weekend.
That's one more I gotta admittedly just defer to you on. I don't know anything about either one of these teams, but just by looking at the numbers, it looks like that's the right pick for sure.
Washington hasn't really been good since they made the playoff. That was like their last year, which they all that hype around that team. So with John Ross and whatever that quarterback's name was. So yeah, I like Utah to win straight up.
for sure. Utah, another school that I really like their basketball program at. Utah, it's funny because Utah and BYU, I learned this recently, actually. BYU and Utah have, like, a battle of, like, trying to get the best high school kids in the state of Utah. It's hilarious to me.
Yeah, whoever has more Mormons wins.
Basically. And the reason I actually found that out, found that out today, which is funny, before we even talked about this, because Frank Jackson last night went off for the Pelicans, and I wound up finding out that he's from Utah. He went to BYU, and he went to high school at one of these fucking public high schools that has to be illegally recruiting, because they just have, like, they had the past, like, five out of the last, like, eight Mr. Basketball Utah, which is insane. That's the best high school basketball player in the state of Utah. They've had, like, yeah. It's crazy for a public school to do that. It's insane.
I bet all the athletes just go to that one school.
It's crazy. You got to look at it. If the audience and you are interested at all, check out the last 2 years, the winner of the Utah Mr. Basketball Utah Best Player in the State. It's this little white kid. He's 6'1", skinny. He looks like he's terrible at basketball.
But he probably doesn't miss.
30, huh?
Probably does not miss.
Dude, he averages 34 points in his senior year, 15. I mean, insane stats. I mean, this kid is tiny. I mean, like, it's funny because, and we'll get to the NFL game right after this. Funny because the 3 years ago, the winner, Miss Bat, same came from the same high school, same type of player, he's overseas now, went undrafted. I learned Frank Jackson was the last pick in the 2017 draft, and he fucking plays 19 minutes. I'm not going to get started on the Denver fucking game last night again, but he did play only 19 minutes and put up 21 points. That's ridiculous.
Yeah,
anyway.
Can't forget about Jimmer from BYU either.
Oh, fuck that dude. Anyway, that's what that essentially brings me up to Tyler Hawes or some shit. He actually played. He was a sophomore, and Jimmer Fredette was a senior, and he's basically his, like, protege. He's a similar game. He's pretty good. He's overseas now as well, so he's obviously not good enough for the NBA.
Yeah,
they're kind of small.
Can't wait for this college basketball season. Not gonna lie, it's gonna be a lot of fun.
Oh, I'm excited myself. So we just gotta start it now. Let's talk about this NFL game, man.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's the standalone game Sunday night, 8:20, Pats versus Baltimore. Okay, so my
cannot wait.
What's up?
Cannot wait for that game.
Yeah, me either. And you're going to that game, so the audience knows that's pretty exciting. That's cool.
Yeah, man. I'm gonna be at that game. Shout out my my friend Mason and Brandon hooking me up with the tickets. Gonna be a lot of fun Sunday night.
Yeah, hell yeah, that's a fucking great NFL game to go to. Especially if you're going to one game for a season, that's the best one you could go to this year for sure.
Oh yeah.
But anyway, to give some little bit of background here, this game already, it's not even the end of Friday yet. And it's already the most heavily bet NFL game of the year, by far. That's number one. Number two, I was worried earlier because I was looking at New England's schedule, and they played nobody. The best team, arguably, they played is the Cleveland Browns. They beat them by 14. They played the Bills. They struggled with them. I did some thinking about this. So my initial reaction when we first recorded this was basically New England played like shit, and they only won by 6, and they should have won by more. But thinking it over more and doing a little bit more research and looking into it, in a 17-week, 16-game NFL season, there's going to be 1, 2, or 3 games where even the best teams are going to play tough, and they're going to have to show that they have grit and toughness, and they're going to have to fight out and win an ugly game like that, 16-10. So I'm going to excuse that one game. That's the only game they lost against the spread. They lost it by a point or half a point, depending on when you got it. They're 7-1 against the spread. They're 8-0. First half spreads, by the way. I thought they were 7-1. They're 8-0, actually. They did cover the Buffalo spread. So I was worried about New England -3. I was absolutely going to buy it to -3.5. However, I mentioned earlier that I was leaning towards the money line at -156. I told you earlier it was not going to get any lower. It's only going to go up, which is exactly what's happening. It's up to -165 now. Fuck that. This is why I'm going to pound New England. So, as you know, I got my regular book where, you know, I bet pretty heavy, and then I got this new book. So, my plan on this new book is, you know, the past 3 days have been terrible. I won, you know, $219 with a 2.1 units, whatever. And I got, I basically have one unit left over there. So, I'm going to try my best tonight and tomorrow with college and NBA to get that up as high as possible and just put it all on New England -2.5, -120. Why? This is why. Fuck the money line. Take the points. New England's going to win by 10 or more. This is my reasoning behind it. So these teams have – okay, so granted, New England has played nobody. They played the Jets twice, the Giants. The Jets are arguably the second worst team. They played Miami, the worst team possibly ever in the NFL ever. The Giants, terrible, bottom of the barrel. Washington, terrible, bottom of the barrel. Barely beat Buffalo, but I'll excuse that. Whooped on Washington. Whooped on the Giants. Whooped on the Jets twice. Beat Cleveland by 2 touchdowns. Covered the spread in every game. Pittsburgh by 30, 33, another common opponent. where I'll get to Baltimore in a second. And then Buffalo, of course, and that's pretty much it. That's their schedule. This is the first game they're actually gonna get tested. The only worry I actually had was I watched that hour-long breakdown of 50 plays, defensive plays up from New England in slow motion, shit like that, and breakdown from somebody, from an expert, end quote. Anyway, the one thing that worried me is that they have some get holes and worries against strong rushing team, especially teams with a running quarterback. That was my only worry. However, after thinking over it for a couple extra hours, what Bill Belichick is going to do, what he always does, he's going to fucking stop your best fucking player, which is the quarterback for the Baltimore, and he's going to dare you to beat him with everybody else. Baltimore doesn't have enough weapons to do that. Bill Belichick is going to handle that. I don't give a shit if New England gets outscored by 7-15 in the first half. They're going to make adjustments to come out in the second half on fire. They're going to win by 10 or more. Mark my words right now. I am going to buy the half point just to be safe.
Totally. I couldn't agree with you more. Bill Belichick is the best coach to ever live. You can only imagine what he's doing to stop Lamar Jackson and the Ravens offense. Obviously, it's a good offense. It's going to be the best offense they've played so far. The only problem you could say about the Patriots this year was their little bit of struggles to stop the run. And they haven't played a team that can run yet. They played the Browns, who honestly did move the ball on them, and they still stopped them. They got lucky with a few Chubb fumbles, but I think the Patriots will crack down and figure it out with this Ravens offense.
Yeah, so I feel like I talked about the Patriots enough. So my one worry was the rushing quarterback. They're going to stop that. They'll be fine. Granted, Cleveland has some weapons, but they don't utilize them. Baker Mayfield is trash, in my opinion. He's not an NFL starting quarterback, in my opinion. He's gonna struggle mightily. So that brings me to the Ravens. So now, the Ravens are 5-2. Okay, they're 5 wins. Okay, granted, they beat Seattle. That's impressive. However, when I looked over the game, they had a pick six, a 65-yard pick six, and a fumble recovery for a touchdown. Their one offensive touchdown came on 4th-and-2. They went for it with like 11 minutes or 13 minutes left in the third quarter, and they fucking got lucky and got an 8-yard rushing touchdown. Okay, so they won barely by 30-16. Okay, fine. They got lucky in that game, in my opinion. They beat the Bengals by 6. Whatever. They struggled against Pittsburgh. They won by 3. Okay, decent win. They lost to the Browns by 15. Okay, New England beat the Browns by 14. That's number one. Number two, they lost to the Chiefs. Arguably the only decent team that they've played, they lost by 5. Okay, so that Seattle win means literally nothing to me at all. And their losses are not great. They beat Miami, whoop-de-doo. They beat Arizona. Who gives a shit? They beat them by 6. That doesn't mean anything to me. The two teams that they played that are decent to very good, I'm talking about Kansas City there, and Cleveland, who is a bottom 16-30 team, in my opinion. They lost to them by 15, and they lost to Kansas City by 5. They don't impress me at all. They got lucky against Seattle. They should have lost that game. Seattle should have won that game. 2 defensive lucky touchdowns and a lucky 4th-and-2 touchdown. I mean, that, come on, man. This is crazy. The fucking New England, I cannot see them not winning by 10 or more. I think New England wins by 24 or more. I really do. I see no arguments to take the Baltimore line here. Spread or nothing. I'm fucking putting... Okay, so just to give a... I think you know this, but I'm up about 12 units over my weekly goal, so which is 15 units. So I'm at like 29 or something like that, so in that area, whatever. I'm not exactly sure exactly, but in that area. I'm putting everything that I don't usually bet over 3 units. Very rarely do I bet more than 1 unit. I try to stay disciplined. I try to stay consistent. If New England does not cover this 2.5 spread, I will literally stop betting for 2 months. I'll still do the podcast and give you my picks. I'm not fucking betting. Because if I'm wrong on this, I'll be fucking shocked, and I will admit that I was wrong, and I'm a piece of shit better. Because this is crazy. How is this? Oh, my God.
Yeah, I think the Patriots will roll them. I think they will.
This is so crazy. Yeah, I think this is, like, the easiest pick of all time. Like, and listen, man, I've been betting long enough on the NFL and other sports since 1998, to be specific. Seriously, since 2004. Fucking, I've learned the hard way never to bet against Bill Belichick and Tom Brady and the Patriots. Never. Especially when they have a defense that's great to elite. Granted, they haven't been really tested yet, but when they have been tested against teams like the Browns, not only did the offense show up and score 40, they, you know, pretty much 25 points is not that great for an offense. So, whatever. Right. I'm taking the New England Patriots. I recommend everybody tail that too. And fucking pound it for it. That's my thoughts on that game.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Let's go Pats.
Fuck, man. How do you not take them? It's so crazy,
And
man.
I And I don't know if you stated it before, the line opened up at 6.5. It's down to 3. And I can't be more happy with that. There's a little bit of but that doesn't. It's not anything insane. I like the Patriots. Take the points. Take the money line. Let's go pass.
I think you said you broke up a little bit there. You said there's a little bit of sharp money coming in on Baltimore, right? Is that what you said?
Yeah, there's a little bit of sharp money on Baltimore, but it wasn't anything too notable.
Okay, so my thoughts on that specific sentence you just said. Fuck those sharps, man. They're wrong fucking. They're wrong 45% of the time.
They are wrong a lot.
So whatever. That means nothing to me. Anybody who's saying there's absolutely no. You're either taking the Pats here or you're not taking anything. So the books, this is my thinking behind this, and if you listen to the podcast before for any decent amount of time, you already know my thoughts on this shit. Line movement versus public percentage. 99% of the public was on the Patriots from -5 to -6.5. It's bet down to -3. 29% now on Baltimore, 71% on New England, -3. Why? This is crazy. Why is the line going down? Why is the first half line only a half a point worse than the full game spread? This makes no sense.
No Vegas sense.
And the
real
books are
fishy.
Trying to make you overthink it. They're just trying to make you overthink it. They're trying to get money on Baltimore's side. They're trying to make it look like New England's not as heavy as a favorite as they are. This line should be at least -10.5, to fucking over that key number of 10 to make you overthink taking the fucking Patriots. I don't understand this.
That is very odd. It's almost as odd as the Astros Nationals game 7, which I tweeted about it. Do you see what I said about that?
I don't remember. Go ahead.
Okay, I'm going to read my tweet exactly. I said, AJ Hinch, Astros manager, took Greinke out when it wasn't needed, refused to use Gerrit Cole multiple times, and what Mattress Mack had put down, Vegas does not take losses like that. I'm not saying it's anything, but it just seems a little fishy.
Oh, fuck it, man. Say it, man. Pro sports in Vegas are rigged, man. It's rigged by Vegas. It's all about money, bro. Come on. Just say it. It's true.
Vegas doesn't lose $15 million in a night.
Doesn't happen. Never happens. Never happened. And I've taken a lot of shit publicly for saying this a lot on the podcast. I don't give a shit what anybody says. I don't care what your argument is. There are so many instances where NBA games, NFL games, MLB games, and NHL games seem fucking rigged, and you'll never convince me otherwise. I don't care what anybody says, and I love it. I fucking love it because I have an extra angle to fucking base my bets on and make the proper bet. New England is the right bet here, 100%.
Let's go Pats. Can't say it enough.
Fuck, it's pissing me off that, like, Baltimore's even getting 29% of the public's action. I can't believe it. I can't believe it. By the way, just so everybody knows, I think New England is the best team in the league. I don't care. I know they haven't been tested. I realize this. But they're going to be tested this weekend for the most part since they started the season. And they're going to prove themselves legit, I think. You don't ever go against Belichick and Brady and those Patriots. I don't care. Dude, they were down fucking 28-3 in that Super Bowl against a potent Atlanta offense. Came back and won. Come on, bro. They're crazy. They make adjustments in the second half at halftime. And they've had a full week to prepare for this shit. No way, dude. No way. No way. Anyway, woo, get that shit got me hot. So, just so the listeners know, we're at 25 minutes, so we're good. We got about 7-10 more minutes or so. Perfect. Five more minutes, we're good. So, basically, we are two pretty much complete morons. We broke down tonight's NBA games a little bit for the most part. I don't really have any plays. My one strongest lean here tonight, just for the record, is the Spurs. +7 now. I'll take that and run with it. Whoa! Hey, thanks a lot. Fucking New York City. That has to happen at least once. Spurs +7 at Golden State. That's a fucking gimme bet. I'm taking that and running with it. If the Spurs don't cover that 7, I think the Spurs money line is worth the shot.
Spurs -7, you mean, right?
I'm wrong. Yeah, I like that too. I don't care. I don't even care that 87% of the public is on the Spurs because this is a gimme bet, man. If Golden State wins this game by 8 or more, I'll be... Literally, I won't believe it. Okay.
So you guys are gonna be listening to this Saturday morning. So this is gonna be already happened. Hopefully, my man John doesn't sound crazy.
Hopefully, Spurs, I mean the Spurs. Granted, they are an older team. Sure.
Back to back. I think they'll cover though.
Sure, man. I know they had a travel day, especially in between the back to back. They had to travel up north in the same state, a couple hundred miles. No big deal. Let me just make sure nobody's out. Steph Curry's out, obviously. Kevin Looney's out. Jacob Evans out. That doesn't really matter. And the only person out for rest is Murray for Spurs. So the Spurs are coming pretty much with a full loaded roster. DeMar DeRozan is not going to have that shit. fucking LaMarcus Aldridge isn't going to have that shit. And I don't see anybody who's going to score the fucking 25 to 30 that Curry's good for. Who's going to score the 20 and fucking 10 and 5 that that Klay Thompson's good for? Who's going to score the 30 that Kevin KD is good for? Who's going to fucking... is Green going to fucking score 50 points?
No, bro.
Hey. And DeMar DeRozan, this is a revenge game for him. DeMar DeRozan's from California. He's not taking no nights off, and he's playing at Golden State. He's going to drop 40 tonight.
No way. And just for the record, in my opinion, DeMar DeRozan is an elite NBA player. I mean, he's legit. If you look at last night's game, in the fourth quarter, he did the same thing that Kawhi Leonard did last night. He just fucking went off. And just for the record, I'm looking here at some, in quotes, expert action here. And and just for the record, you've probably seen this too, but it's on the Action app. So take it for what it is. But usually the experts are definitely split in some way. It's never on the Action app that 5 experts to 0 on one side. Everybody's on the Spurs. That does worry me a little bit. I am going to buy. I actually took this earlier at 6.5, and I bought it all the way down to -5.5 for -130. I'm going to take it again at -7 and buy it down to -6.5.
That's honestly cheap. That is not even bad.
No, it's not. The only thing I'm worried about, honestly, is they are an older team. I think they go up huge by the end of the third quarter, and they sit their starters, and like a 20 to 25-point lead could evaporate into like a 10-point lead, and it could get scary towards the end there. But I think if that does wind up happening, and that's what happens in this game, which is probable, it might not happen, of course, but it's probable. I think if they do get back within 10, fucking Popovich is just going to put in the starters again. And DeRozan is going to come in, and they're going to extend the lead back up to 15 to 20. That's what I think is going to happen. And it is scary, though, because what we just said, the NBA is rigged sometimes, and Vegas normally doesn't take these losses. But what is Vegas going to do? Make it a -25.5-point spread? They have no choice. They have no choice. They're stuck here. They're fucked on this game. They'll make it up with the other spreads because, like I said, this is the hardest slate besides this game. It's a tough fucking slate. And just to give a quick update, I know this is going to be out tomorrow, so this doesn't really matter. But the Clippers versus Dallas is the pick 'em right now. That's a tough game. This is the hardest game that Lakers have, and they're in Dallas. Utah at Sacramento. Sacramento's super underachieving. Utah's overachieving. Utah's -4.5 in Sacramento. That's tough. That's a tough line. Detroit at Chicago. You said earlier you love Detroit. I don't know. I kind of like Chicago here in Chicago. Tough
definitely
game.
Definitely did not play it in my – I did not play anything in that game.
Nothing. I only have the Spurs. And you know I bet the NBA heavy. I'm not even taking Boston, even though it dropped down now to -9, and I could buy it down to -8.5 in Boston. That's my second highest play, but I'm not even taking it. I'm not taking any unnecessary risk. And just for the record, Brooklyn as +4.5 dogs playing Houston and Brooklyn. Right now it's 23-15. It's so early, though. Orlando's up 3 on Milwaukee, and Indiana is down 7 to Cleveland. So that's it for that. And then let's just get into a couple of Saturday's NBA games because the lines just came out about an hour and a half ago. And just breeze through them real quick. Pelicans at OKC. OKC is at home, -3. The Pelicans are not going to play another game like they did against the Nuggets. I like OKC there, -3. What do you think? Anything on that?
I'm going to defer you to that, but I'm going to agree with you. No Zion, no nothing. Let's go Thunder.
these are just leans right now. I mean, this is early. Yeah. Admittedly, I haven't done much research, but just from looking at it first, -3, OKC is a steal. Brooklyn playing back-to-backs. They're playing in Detroit tomorrow night. -1.5 currently. I don't have anything to say about that. Denver at Orlando. Denver got exposed. I have nothing to say on that yet. I have to look more into it. By the way,
tough stretch for Orlando. Milwaukee
tough stretch. Tough stretch. Orlando's a good team, man. Orlando, yeah, people sleep on them.
My Orlando Magic. I am a fan of that team.
Are you?
Yeah, I must used to be a Dwight Howard fan in the past. So.
Oh man, you're so young. I forgot. I was about to say it must be tough since Anthony Hardaway and Shaq, but you probably don't remember that shit.
I wasn't even born.
Man, Penny Hardaway, bro. He was the fucking man. He was like the first, like, besides like Magic Johnson, he was like the first like big 6'6 point guard who can handle. Like, he was the first like generation of these new big, fast, strong point guards. So I loved him. He was one of my favorites. Also, I probably don't remember, but you guys, if you're younger than me, I'm 34 and I remember this. So if you're his age or even like 10 years older than him, if you're like probably fucking 29 or younger, you probably don't remember. Definitely YouTube some Penny Hardaway commercials. They're fucking amazing. Little Penny and Penny Hardaway, oh, they're fucking great, dude. I'm not even going to describe them, because you got to see it for yourself.
Oh,
by the way, next game, two of the best in the East playing each other. Toronto is in Milwaukee. Milwaukee's in on back-to-back. It's a two-cup game for them. I like Toronto here +4.5 on the road. I got to look into that as well. Phoenix at Memphis. I got nothing to say about that yet, except I do like the under. I always like the Memphis under. They're a super slow-paced team. Even without Marcus Gasol anymore, they're still slow-paced. And 80% is on the under, by the way, right now, early. 22.5 it opened at down to 22.5. That's going to drop like a fucking hammer quickly, so grab it ASAP if you can. Minnesota at Washington. I don't know. Washington's looks great. I was high on Washington, even though they pretty much have Bradley Beal, and that's it. They're -2 in Washington. I'm not saying anything about that yet, but I'm leaning Washington. Charlotte at Golden State. How do you not just keep betting against Golden State right now?
Yeah.
I mean, Jesus Christ. By the way,
they're in a full tank right now. They're in a full tank.
Man, and this line should be like Charlotte -12.5-ish. It's Golden State -1 at home. 91% is on Charlotte. The books are fucking shit in their pants, Golden State, because, dude, I believe it was like 88% of bets were on the under total wins for the season. Now with Curry out, it dropped like 11 games, I think. And then also, this early, 91% is on Charlotte. So, yeah, everybody knows that. And then Philly is in Portland. So this is definitely Philly's toughest game. I'm really high on Portland. I love Portland. I love that team a lot. I think Philly struggles here, especially without Embiid out, because Embiid's out for that fight for two games. I think they're going to struggle against a very, very good Portland team.
Oh, what'd you say the spread was on that game?
Portland -1.5. It opened at -3. It's down to -1.5 now.
Portland -1.5. In Portland, no Embiid. Wow.
I know. That's a heavy lean right now. I got to look more into it, but it's probably going to be a play for me.
Yeah, I might put that in soon.
Yeah, I love Portland. I mean, I love Damian Lillard. He's literally one of my favorite players. I love watching him play. He's awesome. I love that team. I love McCollum. I mean, the list goes on and on for them. The Sixers, I got to say, they were my third or fourth in the East in the beginning of the season. They bumped up to second behind Boston for the reason that I was worried about their defense. Simmons has stopped taking defensive plays off and is playing defense for real now. And Embiid is bigger than I thought. This entire team is bigger, longer, stronger, and faster than I thought. Philly's better than I thought. I was wrong. I have them second in the East right now. However, without the 7-foot and Embiid 2 and 3s and playing inside defense, I think they struggle mightily. I think Portland's going to cut them up, slash into the basket all game long. And once they start getting success driving to the hole, they're going to start kicking it out, and they're going to start nailing threes on them all day long.
Whoever is in that Portland Trailblazers recruiting team has needs a raise. They nailed CJ McCollum from Lehigh and Dame Lillard from Weber State. Like, I don't know how they did that so well.
Bro, that's a fucking great point that I would have loved to have brought out myself, because fucking Portland's ownership does not get enough fucking credit, man. Their coaching is great. Their ownership is great. The general manager is great. I forget the guy's name, but I know exactly who he is. I can see his face in my head. Portland is legit, especially at home, especially getting... By the way, Philly is getting 54% of the action, and the line's moving where it should be moving lower for Portland, better for Portland. I love Portland here. It might be kind of weird. Let me take a look at the money line. It might be worth just saying fuck it, and as opposed to buying, just take the money line at -125. Be safe.
Yeah.
It opened at -140. 6% of the public is down to -125. If you bought the -1.5 at -110, down to -0.5, which would essentially be kind of the same bet, except it's basically the same exact bet. It would cost you -130. So save $5 and take the money line. That's what I did when they played. What was the last game Portland played? They played. Portland played and won against. Give me one second.
Was it Toronto?
OKC.
OKC.
Right. And they were 1.5 on the road. Similar team, OKC and Philly, without Embiid anyway. And I took Portland money line at -120, -115 when it dropped $5 better. And. They wound up covering Bailey. They won 102-99. They covered the first half. OKC covered the second half pick. And Portland covered the 1.5 anyway, so I didn't have to take the money line. But if Portland -1.5, it was priced at -105. -1 was 110. And Portland money line, I got it at -115. So that was a no-brainer. I was worried. They got down early. I was also worried that 77% of Portland was on Portland. So Vegas does take these losses sometimes, but if you look overall on the slate of games for that night, Vegas didn't take a loss at all. Houston didn't cover against Washington. I think like 78% was on Houston. Let me make sure of that. 61% was on Houston. I was on Washington. Don't get that twisted. Vegas doesn't take an overall loss, but they will take a loss in the NBA once in a while. So I'm not really too worried about the Golden State bet against the Spurs. Anyway, That's pretty much it, man. You got anything else to say? We went a little bit over.
No, that's actually perfect timing. I just reached my destination, got the pod recorded, and it was worked out well.
I love it, bro. So just real quick, you left off the – give your bonus pick out, man. Go ahead.
Give my, even though you guys are going to be listening to this in the morning, my bonus play was Navy team total over 40.5 versus the Connecticut Huskies. I think they're going to come all – over the Connecticut Huskies. Wait, what? Yeah,
it's still funny the second time around. I don't care. They're going to bust nuts all over their face, bro. It's going to happen.
All over their face.
Still funny. I don't care. It's still funny. My brother, I love you. Thanks always for coming on. Great job. I'll have you on again next week. I'll give you information out on the outro. Cool?
Yes, sir. Cool. Be sure to follow. And you guys need to hit me up for these free plays because they've been hitting. You guys are going to be listening to this in the morning. Hit the NCAA package. It's been hitting every single week. My DMs, it's half guaranteed. There's going to be, I think, 10 to 11 plays on it tomorrow, all day. So hit me up in the morning at Jersey Ben. Get your NCAA package.
Yep, and in reference to what he just said, I'm going to go ahead and play the short ad
after this.
And I'm going to retweet that out as well. This guy's money in the college football games. And what else? I have one more thing to say. So this is our third episode, man. We're getting better. I love talking to you. And just so the listeners know, just really quick, I'll let you go. I asked literally two people to come on the podcast. You're the only one that came on. I recorded with another guy for literally within a minute and a half. I knew it wasn't going to work. 4 minutes, I cut him off and said, this ain't going to work. And I'm glad I found you because we stopped talking over each other. We hit each other's points. Your age, our differences, helped out with two different angles. So pleasure to have you, man. Have you on again soon.
Thank you for having me. Have a good night.
Be good, my man. Good luck tomorrow. Peace.
All right, man.
Okay, Alak audience, now that you've already heard the long version of this, essentially, if you guys want to join a picks selling service, it's verified by me, it's vouched for by me. I met the people who run it, I love it, I've been following them for 7 weeks now. They have not lost 1 week, they went 1 week 6-5. Their picks are guaranteed. You will speak to them about that. They're $150 per week for the college football picks, 11 picks minimum. And for Locky Lock listeners, for the first one or two times, I'm trying to get them to do it for at least the first five times. It's only $100. It started at $250. I got them down. I said, I'm not charging anybody from my podcast who I love that much money. They said $150, but if you're giving them the first week, $50 off, do it for $100 for them. I said, okay, I'm going to get them to do like the next 2, 3, 4, 5. Trust me, I got this. I got you guys, baby. Don't worry. It's going to be a great deal. And at least give it a shot 1 week. Trust me. This week they killed it. Just insane. 9-2, 8-3, 9-2, 10-1, 6-5, 7-4. I mean, just ridiculous. So you want more information about that? Send me a DM and I'll send you in the right direction. Okay? Love you guys. Sorry about this. I hate pick selling companies and services, but this is the best one I ever found. And I love them and I trust them and I recommend them. So have a great night. I don't know why I'm saying that because this is an advertisement. I love you guys. I'm half a retard sometimes. Give them a shot. And if not, listen, man, no harm done. But what are you missing out, bro? What's $100? I've won you guys thousands. Give them $100, see what happens. If you lose, they give you the $50 back and they give you another weekend. You can't lose. There's no way you can lose this. Love it. Join.